What's up? You were tuning in to the first podcast, which I call Rides, every single Thursday. You are joining me as we figure our lives out together. And I'm so excited to be able to have this episode because it is a confirmation of completion. It means that I, Charity Kashenge, have officially completed my dream of having a podcast and being able to connect with you. Okay? They see me rolling. They hating. Patrolling. They trying to catch me riding dirty. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. We're just going to ride dirty all the way through the rest of 2020, which is like really short. And into 2021 in the years to come with prosperity and peace. So I wanted to just share with you guys who I am, what I'm about, and where I come from. And I think it's important that you guys contextually understand who I am because I may come off a little bit confusing. Most people see me as the bubbly Charity that's super audacious and always looking for an opportunity to make people smile and laugh. And while I do enjoy those things, when I go home, I'm very sensual, I'm very intimate and in tune with who I am. That's the reason why I started this podcast, because I believe that God has met me in that place, not the place that people see, but the place where I'm at, where I've been able to just heal myself and look towards a life of prosperity and peace. I think some fun facts that people might not know about me is that I was born in the Midwest. So I'm not really an Eastern girl. I'm like Midwest, young and restless, my snatch a necklace. Somebody tell them who Kanye West is. Yeah, so I was born in the Midwest and my mother migrated there when she left Kenya. I don't know why, because there's nothing there. Yeah, they migrated there, my mom and my dad, and they had my sister and I, and that's just kind of like how our life was. We left Michigan because of a significantly tragic thing that happened to me, which one day I will share later. And we moved here to Montgomery County in the Maryland area, the DMV. And this was just before 9/11. So you can only imagine that here I am coming to the utopia of the world, like the White House, me, I've arrived, you know? And then you find out like 2 months later, it's blowing up. We weren't prepared for that. And neither was my uncle because he packed his bags and went back to Michigan. So ever since then, we thugged it out. And my mom was a superwoman in her transition to the DMV because, I mean, she was mad relentless. We were over there staying at this apartment in White Oak for 3 months. And within 3 months, she got us a house, and that's where we grew up until she would pass away and we would later on turn everything into rubbish. But that's not the point. So yes, I'm Kenyan American, and my mother and my father were both born in Kenya. And I am first generation American along with my sister, which is my only sibling. From my mom's side, I kind of discovered we had another one on my dad's side, but you know how that works out. So anyways, what I want to get straight into are the things that I have learned in 2020. Child, this has been the year that snatched your edges, snatched your common sense, snatched your emotions, and snatched your spirituality. And I have learned 5 things that I must share with you because going into 2021, like, yo, we can't do this no more. We cannot do this no more. Okay, so the number one thing I've learned in 2020 is that just because the world is crashing and you've made some pretty bad decisions, it doesn't mean that God has given up on you. I think this year has been so frustrating because we've really not made decisions that were in tune with how we feel, what we are, and how we naturally navigate life. We've kind of been pretty erratic and just trying to find a safe space to survive. When you get into survival mode, you often forsake your values and your morals. You're looking at things from a second-to-second perspective. I really believe that everything in our life is salvageable. God is the God of recycling, and He can use everything to produce joy. You just have to be obedient in the process of having your transgressions and your pain being recycled. And it's painful because you have to relive that a couple of times before you're comfortable with it being recycled, because often the things you go through become your testimonies and you will forever testify of the things that God has done to you. So deliverance is important when you're going through a season of trial. So I truly believe that just because you're chosen, don't think you won't have any like adversities or any challenges. And when they happen, be okay with God using those things for your purpose, no matter how painful they are. So the second thing I learned during 2020 is that you have to be willing and capable of letting go of everything that does not serve you or the godly purpose inside of you. Now, that one is a hard one because we have loved ones and family members who honestly consume us so much. Our thought processes, how we feel about ourselves, and our day-to-day activities are navigated by the people that we love the most. It's often in those spaces and in those environments where we are challenged because the people we love are also human and they bring to the table their own insecurities, their own inequities, and their own fears. And from that, we develop ourselves. But I had to learn that I can no longer develop myself through the fears of the people that I love. I had to relinquish myself, not just of their fears, but also my own fears, because there is no love where fear exists. And if this something I want more than anything in this world is to have love, be loved, and to operate in a consistent path of love. And that just starts with acknowledging the people in my life that are not serving that agenda. If I'm being honest, like I started 2020 with like, I don't know, I was being all types of crazy and audacious and I'll never do it again. I'll never be this bold as I was as far as like going down the wrong path. But I really stuck my head into some things because I wanted to be happy, but happiness doesn't come from your own wiring. It doesn't come from your own ability to just manufacture your happiness. Happiness is something that's very constructed. It's very articulated and strategic. And when you just think that you can manifest your own happiness, I think you're being a little bit skewed, you know, because your happiness has already been determined and defined. When we ask God for things, He is going to provide it to us. And when we do things, we kind of just make it happen, Captain. And that's not how real happiness works. It's like a diet. You have to let your body adjust to the fact that it doesn't want meat anymore. So when you do eat meat, you feel like, that's nasty. But if your body's like, ew, give me that steak, you haven't really gone through the process of sacrificing meat for your well-being or whatever it is that you want to do if you were to be vegan of some sort. So the third thing I've learned is that love is not a necessity to achieving self-actualization and to living a life of fulfillment. Love should be complementary to your journey. If you're like me, you have been chasing love in every single corner and crevice. And I know that most of us who lack love in our lives have grown up in very dysfunctional homes or homes where there wasn't a healthy two-parent environment. And I've always been wanting to be loved by the people that I cared about the most. And when I chased that, it was very empty. It wasn't until I was able to be secluded with myself, with who I felt I was and who I wanted to be, that I was able to be freed from the ideas and the consciousness of other people around me. So it's really important that as we move forward in life, that we respect the fact that the people we love can't determine who we're ultimately going to be. If I can dig deeper, I want us to just acknowledge, like, what is love? I think we are so bombarded with the concept of love that we just think it is a social media, like, I don't know, pyramid where you can climb to the top and find your happily ever after. But love is the most sacred thing that the Bible could ever offer because it says to you that the greatest commandment of all is that you love thy neighbor the way you love thyself. And self-love is so important. And many of us don't have that because we're constantly trying to figure out who we are as it relates to other people instead of matching ourselves to God. And God is the highest form of love. And I believe that when you transition from comparing yourself to the people around you, you shift yourself into the most authentic space of healing with God, and He will give you favor and mercy. So what does favor and mercy look like? It feels like not being embarrassed by the things that you do. Do you know how annoying it is to constantly feel like every decision you make is for someone else to judge? Judgmental people come in the form of family and friends. I don't even want to get myself started because if I had to tell you my story, then you would understand why I feel so greatly about the love of God, because He has given me a space to be able to grow. At the end of the day, you don't want to be some 21-year-old and you're now 40 and you haven't grown. It's just way too much time in between to not have grown. So God gives me a very safe space. He gives me a very safe space to be able to figure out what it is I'm supposed to do, because the reality is that when we're on this earth, we're always I hate to say it, but like walking around mindlessly in a way. We're just trying to figure out what is the path, how to get there. And that's the game of life. That's what keeps you hardy. That's what keeps you like running with adrenaline. So as much as we hate it because we're mad lazy, it's so necessary because it keeps us constantly waking up every single day, thriving towards the love of God so that we can find the favor and the mercy of God in our own journeys and our own transgressions, because God uses everything. He is the God of recycling. So that's something that I learned as well. So now this next one that I want to share with you is like mad interesting, because I think people don't want to accept this. When we come into the presence of God, we believe that we are all equal, and we are. But God chooses some people. There's no way that all of us are equal in the sense of purpose, but we are equal in the sense of God's eyes. And for those that God calls to come to the forefront, to lead a nation and to produce things, many people get very jealous of those people. You might find your family members and your friends like saying things to you like, oh, you can't do it, or discouraging you in the manner of, you don't have enough money. What about your kids? What about your family? Is that really a job? And what people don't know is that the will of God is all encompassing. It will consume your entire life. And oftentimes when you sacrifice yourself for God's things, people look at you crazy because they feel like there's no money in God. That's number one. People think there is no money in God. And I promise you, he's not decided for you to be a failure or for you to have nothing. I want us to just coin into the fact that a lot of us feel like our gifts, our resources, and our blessings are supposed to be used for other people. But I promise you that your test and your testimony come with the resources inside of you. Likewise, for the other people that you love, they have their own resources. But somehow we start to just get in this discombobulated state where we feel like we have to give our resources to aid and abate the problems and issues of other people. That does not make any sense. I really want you guys to understand, even me to understand, that when we walk into people's lives, we're not there to be their savior. There's only one true living savior. And if those people don't understand the power of God, they will always tap into you. And if they're tapped into you, that means they're going to drain you. So you have to make sure that you plug the people you love into a source in which you can continue to charge irrespective of what's happening in life. During a time like this, where we have a pandemic and just so many financial crises happening, in addition to political, like, woo, it's important that you understand where you're plugged into. Because if you're plugged into a human or a person or a loved one or your boyfriend and your mother or your father, when that person shifts, you shift as well. You shift as well. Get connected to the source, because that's the most important thing you can do to ensuring that you don't have a life that's like a boat just shifting on the sea. Be better than that. Be greater than that. And I feel like 2020 has taught us, like, if we don't do things differently, then we'll always succumb to the worst of times. The millennials have been through so much. We have been through so much. And I feel like other generations before us try to make it seem like it's normal, but it's not normal. We have been in a state of confusion for very, very many years. And we're still trying to be hopeful and be prosperous in this state. And that's not normal. It's not normal to be like that. The last thing I want to say is that your obedience is not a request. It's necessary. Most people kind of walk through life governing themselves until you realize that there is a higher power. And for me, it is God, it is Jesus Christ, and it's through Christ that we are able to even get to the Father. But those have been two channels that I've had to go through to be able to tap into the greatest power I could ever have. And I just genuinely feel like we get ourselves in situations where we are linked to people, places, and things, and even opportunities that cause us to forsake the God within us. Those places, space, and opportunities cause us to forsake the God within us. So we often find ourselves compromising, settling, and just shifting in a manner in which we shouldn't, because the desires of our heart consume the faithfulness of God. And one thing I can say is that if you are not obedient, okay, obedient to what God is asking you to do, you will find yourself in a position of needing him. And when you need God, two things can happen. He comes to you with mercy, or he comes to you with fire. And a lot of us don't like the fire, because we feel like, how can the love of God be fierce? Some of us are knuckleheads, and that's the only way that we learn. And I think that as you continue to travel through your journey of life, you will learn that obedience can be sweet food and it can also be sour. You have to choose for yourself whether or not you want the love of God to just dwell on you kindly, or if you're going to be the stiff and rigid person who is very like trying of God. And I've heard people say that I'm trying God, and I'm thinking, if you try God, then you're for sure with the devil. So what are you doing really with your life? I always say to people as a disclaimer that God is for me. God is not for everyone, although he should be. I can respect the fact that we live on an earth where everyone has free will. They can choose and they can decide what they want to do with their lives. But I promise you, there's no single person who can. Am I being too audacious by saying this? Let me say it correctly. There is no person on this earth who could ever proclaim that there is anything more significant, more powerful, and more majestic than the love of God. I think the testimonies you could hear from people who have been obedient to God will outweigh whatever you need it to do to convince you to realize that there is only one way, one truth, and one light. I have to also give another disclaimer, which is so unfortunate because a lot of the times people hear religious things or spiritual things or whatever the case may have you, and they assassinate your character because of that. But for me in this podcast and in this ride, I really want everyone to understand that God is the fundamental, the driving force, the car, the engine, whatever it may have you, that is what God is to me. And everything that I do and I get in my life is because of the love of God. And I will always give him back the credit. So oblige me in the moments in which I have to give God honor and just sing hallelujah. Because to be frank, for me to be able to do this podcast and be humble and to be in a space with transparency, it's only God who's been able to heal me from so many things. So we're going to go down an interesting journey in life where we learn about what has charity been through, some things that people don't know, but also how can charity help other people be freed of things that they also too haven't shared with other people. This is our safe space. It's an opportunity for us to get to know each other on a more intimate level and more than anything to find love and compassion in this world. And I feel like these tips, I don't know if they're going to help you, but they better, because our rides coming forward are going to be so lit. Let me see if there's any questions here for me to answer, because I've been doing Instagram Live while I was doing this. Okay, so someone asked me, how are you doing today? I am phenomenal. To be honest, I feel like I have learned to separate the blessings of God from the physical world and to tap into what God is doing for me consistently and not necessarily what's happening around me. So for that, I've been able to find balance. But I will say that this pandemic has really, really forced me to reinvent my life. But who am I to not, you know, who am I not to survive, right? Who am I not to be amazing in the face of adversity? So I was asked, how do you let your mom know she is crossing boundaries in a respectful way, especially in a Kenyan home? Now, listen, my mother and I, we went toe to toe. I am not going to lie. My teenage years were so tumultuous because I was just so busy expressing my opinions. And I felt like my mom could never, ever understand that her acceptance of me, her perspective of me was so important. It was more important than the perspective of God or even my peers or people that I loved. And my mother had a no-nonsense attitude because from her perspective, it was about, I gotta get you in the most safe space ever. I gotta get you where you can thrive and where you can succeed. And today, as I stand as a 29-year-old woman, a product of her resilience, I can't be mad at what she chose to do. So I genuinely feel like you have to trust your mother. If your mother is a good mother, trust her, because all things come into full circle. And when it comes into full circle and you've had the trust instilled inside of it, then you should be better off than you are. Now, I also recognize that there are some mothers who do some things that are very condescending and break down your spirit. In those type of relationships, I really think that you have to go to God for the correct answer on how to deal with the loved one, because everything is different for every person. I would never want to tell someone like, just screw them. They're terrible. They're the worst to you, because at the end of the day, they could be horrible, but your need for that relationship is all consuming. So you never want to kill something and kill yourself. There are times where you have to pursue healing from a very meek place. And I feel like the best thing you can do is ask God, like, yo, please set parameters and boundaries where I can even visit this relationship from a place of compassion and rebuild. Like, I need to rebuild this whole relationship, but I'm not going to be able to do it if I'm sitting in the same household with you, if I got to stare at you all day, if you're paying all of my bills. So just ask God for the things that you need to create boundaries. And when you get those boundaries, be obedient, which is one of the number one things I said is be obedient with everything that God is asking you to do so he can continue to provide for you so that you can continue to expand your purpose within the earth, the world, and the kingdom. So I just want to say cheers to you. Cheers to everything you've overcome, and cheers to everything you're going to be. So I thank you so much for giving me the opportunity, the space, and for just having you listen to the things that I have to say. And it is my prayer that at every single ride we have, that you have an encounter with God and that you grow expeditiously towards Christ and his kingdom, and that you find the love of God for yourself in a way that no man can change. I hope you've enjoyed this, and don't forget to bring your friends for the next rides, because we are about to have some fun. Don't forget to rate this podcast, share, like, and subscribe. See you next Thursday on Chatting with Charity, and don't forget to bring your friend. Until then, you can find us on Instagram at Chatting with Charity.